Email latedebate@rte.ie.
Hello again, Grace Boland, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Fingal West, Paul Donnelly, Sinn Féin TD for Dublin West and party spokesperson for community development, Gabby Agata Fitzgaida, political correspondent for the Irish Independent, and Teresa Reedy, senior lecturer at the Department of Government and UCC. Our panel this evening, we're moving on to the ESRI Stark Quarterly Economic Bulletin. Gabby, let's start with what they had to say about rent controls. First of all, they had a menu of three options to replace the current RPZs, which they believe aren't working. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah, they're saying there's a clear need for the reform of rent controls. They're saying that rents are not allowed to rise in real terms when account is taken of inflation. The ESRI, they looked at those three options, as you're saying, revising the existing caps, which are currently set at 2%, allowing landlords freely reset rents when homes become vacant, or introducing reference rents where landlords can adjust letting costs based on the size or the location of property. The ESRI said reference rents would be more difficult to introduce in the long term, but the government should consider allowing landlords increases which would be calculated by inflation plus a certain percentage. But this, of course, could lead to letting costs falling behind market rates. So they're saying, look, the government will face a trade-off between protecting tenants' affordability and the need to increase rental supply by retaining landlords, encouraging investment and new construction into the sector. And of course, that's been a challenge for the government for a long time. We know they've signalled that they are going to look at the RPZ legislation, Taoiseach Micheál Martin saying that they would replace it with something else. But as to what that something else may be, we're not clear just yet.
Okay. Removing rent limits, Grace Boland, and replacing it with something that will involve an increase in rents. What do you make of the report?
Well, look, what we need to do in relation to housing is to deliver more homes. You know, we are seeing the first home scheme, we're getting 500 people a week are getting the keys to their own home. The vacant home scheme, 1,500 houses have been brought back into the housing stock since it was commenced. And we need to do much, much more of that.
Right.
The reality is the rent pressure zones have been effective in controlling rents, but it has led to a fall in the supply of the private rental accommodation. What the minister has done is as he has tasked the housing agency to undertake a review of the operation of the rent, the RPZs, before they expire at the end of this year. And the minister will consider everything in the housing agency's
review.
Well,
the ESRI has done exactly that. And the three options it's put on the table are, as Gabby has said, either revising the existing caps, currently at 2%. Kieran McQuinn, who was on radio earlier, said that might a figure of 4% might be looked at. The landlords freely reset rents when homes become vacant could be problematic because it could incentivise evictions. And the final issue of reference rents, which has been floated before as well, is very hard to do in the short term. So do you have any preference for any of them?
I'm not yet the Minister for Housing, so I won't say that I have any preference. But what the Minister will do is he will wait until the Housing Agency publishes its report, which should happen in the next couple of weeks. And we'll also look at the ESRI's report. There needs to be a balance between attracting investment and funding into the private rental sector with protecting the rights of renters. And the programme for government says that we want to progressively increase the rent tax credits because we recognise the financial pressures that renters are under.
But there is a commitment in the PFG for like a rent register.
There is, yeah, absolutely.
Is that not what the reference rents are in the ESRI report?
No, well, the reference rents is
price
where,
register.
Yeah, where, well, the rent price register is one thing. The reference rents is where you take a number of factors about rents into an area, like the number of amenities, where it is,
size.
and then basically that dictates the rent. So how attractive an area is in terms of amenities and everything else. Set you take a rental within that area, and that sets the reference rent for that particular area. Mm. So they can vary from area to area.
Yeah, but the register of rents, I think one is something that I think even opposition parties, it's something that they've backed before, and I mean that seems to be something that could be fairly maybe easily implemented.
Paul Donnelly, what do you think of this ESRI report?
Look, I think it's, again, Sinn Féin had predicted this when the RPZs were brought in 2016, that you would create that difference between those existing rents, the gap between existing rents and new rents, and everything that we said about the RPZs has come to fruition in terms of the ESRI report today. Look, there's the biggest worry I would have is that we have people, and it was floated a few weeks ago, and I got calls time and again off people who are currently renters, who are absolutely terrified of anything happening in terms of rents because they are absolutely at the pin of their collar. Mm. Those who are currently renting at the moment, the vast majority cannot afford any increases whatsoever. So they are genuinely afraid. So there's a couple of things that
But there has been a fall off in apartment building, and the fall off in apartment building is because funds aren't investing anymore. And part of the reason that's floated here is that there's a disincentive to invest is because return on investment income is not there if rents don't increase beyond this 2% rate.
But if you have a new apartment block that you've just built, you're not part of the RPZs at the beginning. So you can charge 2,500, 3,000 euro. You're locked into them for the future, but you start off with a clean slate. So look, there's something that we need to do in terms of the market, because I don't know whether you've noticed in your constituency office, but I have noticed a marked increase in notice to quits. A huge increase in the last 3-4 months of people coming to the office who are getting notice to quits. We need a freeze on evictions at the moment because it is at a crisis level. We need a freeze on rents for at least 3 years. And then the one thing, then you talked about investment in properties at the moment and apartments. We need the government to really step up and to invest in housing. And the one thing that puzzles me is that we have done this before. In fact, Fianna Fáil always bragged. And I remember growing up in town. I was in Bertie's constituency growing up. And every builder, every person who worked in the building trade said, Fianna Fáil get in, we build. They build houses, they build apartments. The area I was in, East Wall, you've got Marino, you've got Inchicore, all of these places all over the country were built by them. We did it before, and I just cannot for the life of me understand when we have billions in the bank.
Right, well,
billions.
The Banking and Payments Federation gave some insight into that when they said they didn't think that housing was going to exceed what Ishka Éireann had the capacity to build, which was 35,000 connections.
Well, that's why we need investment in Ishka Éireann, in the ESB, because there are problems with the ESB in terms of connections. These are things that are solvable. These are issues that can be solved at the moment.
Before I go to Teresa Reid, I want to come back to you, Grace Bullen, because at the same ESRI report said that on housing output, it forecasts 34,295.
I
was going to say 40,000 homes, but that's lodged in the mind. 34,295 homes projected to be built this year and 37,413 next year. But that'd be way short of the respective government targets of 41,000 and 43,000 over those 2 years, by some 7,000 in each year.
First, I have to go back to what Paul said in relation to rent freezes. The ESRI report clearly is setting out that rent controls have actually contributed to a lot less.
And you accept that, do you?
Temporary.
But you accept the ESRI report on that?
It's stated in the report. There is a correlation between the investment in the private housing
sector. Similarly, I mean, if the SRI, if you think they're reliable on that, do you think they're reliable on the undershoot of about 7,000 homes in each of the coming 2 years on the government targets?
We're only at March. There's a long way to go.
Here we go again.
The minister, as I said, is going to consider the report. But what we need is a functioning Dáil. We absolutely need a functioning Dáil.
We need a government to invest in social and affordable housing.
Sorry, Paul. Don't joke me down now. I don't want to carry on Tuesday into here. But we absolutely need a functioning Dáil so we can actually get on with delivering. And it has been clear from day one that this opposition has been determined to do everything it can to make sure that we can't get on with the business of government.
I don't think they're stopping you from building homes, though, in fairness.
We have to implement the measures in the programme for government. You asked why can't we get on with establishing a rent price register. We can't get on with establishing a rent price register.
Okay, the other thing the ESRI quarterly report was looking at was the impact of tariffs. Teresa Reedy, what do you make of the gloomy clouds that are growing on this particular issue? It's European manufacturers worrying about cars. Danny McCoy from IBEC talking about the obliteration of the whiskey industry here. It's pretty grim prospects, isn't it?
The vista is really, really troubling at the moment. And I mean, I'm sitting here in Cork and it's the future of the pharmaceutical industry in this country. I think that'll be first and foremost in everybody's mind. I mean, they were singled out, the pharma companies in Ireland were singled out specifically by Donald Trump. And I mean, Ireland is one of the world's great successes of globalisation, and we're right now on the cusp of deglobalisation. So that process that made Ireland the wealthy, affluent, successful country that we are is about to go into reverse. And it's very troubling that during the entire general election, we knew this was coming, but there was almost no discussion about how we were going to protect our existing position and whether or not Ireland needs to develop an alternative economic model. There are very, very difficult decisions that lie ahead. I suppose it's different, though, to the previous last great crisis, economic crisis we had, though. It's quite likely that this will be a slower process, but potentially more consequential. And so just particularly because, you know, we have these huge pharmaceutical companies very close to where I'm sitting. They won't disappear in a short space of time, but it is the opportunities that will be foregone, the investment decisions
sure, yeah,
that will move somewhere else. And it could be 2 years from now before we realise the kind of consequences of the decisions that are actually being taken in the next 6 weeks.
One of the things, Gabby, during the election campaign that was being discussed was what would happen if there were ill winds blowing over Ireland and first up against the wall is tax cuts. So the ESRI said the overall impact of tariffs would be greater for the Irish economy if the US specifically targets pharmaceutical products. We heard from Donald Trump in the White House today. Bye-bye tax cuts?
Yeah, of course. And Project Fear was one of the bigger points of Fine Gael's campaign, telling voters, you know, re-elect us because we have a safe hand with the economy. And so some of that, I suppose, now is translating here, and especially when you hear Donald Trump talking about pharmaceutical companies, just like he did in the Oval Office when Micheál Martin was over a couple of weeks ago. He's saying how, you know, Ireland has been taking advantage of the US, but he's respecting Ireland for doing that, and he's saying, I don't want to hurt Ireland, I'm not going to pull all the companies out of Ireland. Well, I don't know, because now you're hearing soundings from across the water, they sound a little bit different. And so I think Ireland will try and get exemptions in as many areas as it can. But I think specifically name-checking Ireland is important, because those exemptions may not be as easily gotten this time around.
Okay, Grace Boland, tax cuts. Is it time to start managing constituents' expectations on that front?
Pascal Donoghue, our Minister for Finance, has said that we are facing into extremely uncertain times. But we are in a very strong position because of Pascal Donoghue, because of Fine Gael in government over the last decade.
Right.
We have a rainy day fund, 19 billion in it. We wouldn't have that
if Sinn Féin were in government.
Against the rainy day fund. We will have to wait and see what happens over the course of the next few weeks.
Paul Donnelly.
Something that we need to do. And again, although we have a very vibrant foreign direct investment for the last number of years, we have to refocus and we have to look at how do we complement that with a vibrant indigenous economic model.
Maybe not look at USC cuts now?
Well, when we're not in government, that's... They're in government at the
but
moment.
You're not short of advice for the government, so would you advise them not to make USC cuts?
Well, look, at the end of the day, they're the ones who bring in the budget. They're the ones we put in our submission. It's again, I think we have to wait and see what way this pans out. Look, Trump could wake up in the morning and make a completely different decision. We don't know what the future is going to hold, but what we do know is that we cannot rely in the future on foreign direct investment, and we need an indigenous, a very, very strong indigenous economy.
Another quick break, back in a minute.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.